Inside the Cross Podcast.
Hey everybody, this is Jeff Shannon. I'm here with Dan Ayburn, and this is another edition of the IL Press Podcast. Hope everyone is doing well. Dan, how are you doing?
I am doing great today. Excited for all the games I've seen over the past couple of weeks or so in high school, and then, of course, some NCAA action this weekend.
Yeah, we got a lot going on our plate at this time of year. A lot of championships wrapping up on the NCAA side. We're all gearing toward Final Four weekend up in New England. I was just planning some travel for that. So our focus is kind of all over the place. On this podcast, we're focused on high school. So, Dan, some big games first. Want to do a quick look at the Under Armour Inside Lacrosse Top 25 for this week. Not a ton of changes, but a little bit of debate, I would say. Just bring up this week, once again, our number one for week 10 is Darien, Connecticut. They remain undefeated with a perfect record of 16-0. And they're followed by Landon, number two, at 21-0. And then some Culver at 18-1. Culver will be playing in the Internet Challenge Invitational coming up over the next couple weeks. And then Hill Academy, IMG Academy round out our top five. Two fresh teams from in this week's poll compared to last week's. We add Bridgewater Raritan at 15-0 this top of year, where a team like Bridgewater starts making their push into top 25, undefeated. They play, you know, a good schedule, not a great schedule. At this time of year, they start gunning towards their group championship in New Jersey. Each region has, there's a bunch of regions, and they all have their own titles. And then NJ.com, the, was it a Newark Star Ledger, I think it is, they sponsor the Tournament of Champions every year, which crowns a true state champion. And Bridgewater Raritan has been historically a favorite, or one of the top favorites in that one, along with the Del Bartons and Mount Lakes and stuff like that. Dan, what do you think of the top 25 this week? I know I can imagine the big conversation right now is going to be Landon versus Darien for that number one spot. Darien had earned that spot for us in our rankings. It's hard to kind of push him out right now. We'll see how the rest of the season plays out. And also, towards the end of the year when we start getting some more thoughts from coaches about the whole year. But what are your thoughts about the top 25 right now?
Yeah, you kind of hit the nail on the head. It really does come down to the conversation of who should be number one between Darien and Landon. And I think there's you know, pros and cons for picking either one. You look at Landon undefeated, probably against a tougher strength of schedule than you would say about Darien. But then again, we look at Darien, you know, hasn't been defeated in two straight years. Their margin of victory is quite substantial, so it's hard to pick against them. But, you know, that's, I think, one thing that we'll continue to have a conversation about. And, you know, it could remain Darien at number one. It could be Landon who supersede them at the end of this week, end of this season.
Definitely. And we'll get to that when we get there as well. But, again, some teams. Going back to Landon, they were arguably probably the biggest game of this past week. They win the IAC championship 18-7 over Bullis, who had been a top 10 team. Bullis falls to number 12 in our rankings this week. They, you know, it's kind of capped out. Some of the teams are still fighting for titles, so that's kind of how that plays out. Justin Shockey goes 16 for 24. I miswrote this, but I know it was definitely 16 for something in this contest. Nate Bowler, 5 goals. Shane Corcoran had a big game. Dan, you watched this game. What were your takeaways?
Well, it started out very well for Bullis in this game. I believe they jumped out to a 1 or 2 goal lead. And then what we saw from Landon in the preceding, you know, 55, or I should say really, the rest of the game really was that a team that was just not going to be denied a title this year. And they just performed and executed so efficiently. Justin Shockey, arguably the best player on the field, looks like a guy who could step on the Navy's field right now and start taking draws for him. He won several draws and then scored right away or assisted right away. He was just tremendous. And then, you know, his future midshipman teammate, Nate Buller, did not want to go out without a bang. So he had 5 goals in this game. On the other end, Alex Trippi looked good, but it was definitely held in check by a Landon defense that, you know, was swarming, you know, at several points throughout this game. But Landon, they definitely made a case because this Bulls team is not untalented. This Bulls team is extremely talented. Landon, I think, just proved to be a wholly better team.
That about sums it up, right?
Yeah.
They just sort of muscled their way through a tremendous schedule this year. I mean, you really look at both the teams they played out of conference and then what they did in the IAC. They are a top contender for the number one spot when we get down to those final votes at the end of the year.
Yeah, they had a sign on the side of the field, like Midshipman Mayhem. It was really the Navy guys, I thought, in this game that kind of prevailed this team to a championship victory between Buller, Shockey, and Shane Corcoran. Man, those guys were awesome. And then Joey Epstein, you know, a Hopkins commit, also had a fine game in his own right.
Yeah, that core, I mean, again, it's weird because they're committed to Navy. They do have to go. I want to say, I know Buller and Shockey because they're Under Armour All-Americans, so they have the opportunity to play in that game this year. Why? Because they're going to NAPS. 4 year, that doesn't mean they're in the Navy yet.
Yeah.
So it is always sort of like, I if these guys all do what they're committed to do, Rick Soule and that crew will have a really nice core coming in a year's time for the 2019 season. So, again, great story. Looking forward to them to compare Landon's season with some of the other teams as we look at that top that top spot at the end of the year. Dan, another game you got out to this week was the 100th meeting of MIAA rivals Boys Latin and St. Paul's. This was at the Crusaders campus. This was also the last regular season game for St. Paul's coach Rick Picado, someone who, if you listened to the podcast last week, I did an extensive interview with. It was really good to talk with him. This one came out in a Boys Latin. Was it a 10-9 final? 10-9
final.
Kind of a fun game to watch on TV. It was definitely back and forth. And not much of a lull. In this contest, I enjoyed watching the broadcast of it, and you were out there kind of soaking in the atmosphere. What did you take away from this game?
Well, the first takeaway was obviously the atmosphere that you mentioned. Pretty cool. Like, they had decorated goals. Like, it said 100th game between St. Paul's and Boys Latin. And then they actually closed the school early, I heard, and then canceled all after-school activities because they anticipated 4,000 people coming to this game. And they wanted to make sure everybody was off campus for it. And it was just really cool. You know, Boys Latin, their student section showed up as a group, tried, you know, to verbally get into a bunch of fisticuffs with the St. Paul students. And interesting, one thing I didn't mention in my game story, but it was really funny, was the St. Paul's student section was so overfilled that they were leaning against the fence, and the fence actually snapped and, like, broke, and all these students poured onto the field. And that was just, you know, the icing on the cake for what was an incredible atmosphere. Definitely a little bit of nerves to start the game, though, because it's just like, wow, like, these, you know, all the Boys Latin and St. Paul's players just look around and says, wow, this is a big game, you know, and I'm just a 14 to 18-year-old kid. This is pretty significant, but it was a fantastic game. You know, St. Paul's opened up the scoring with a 3-0 run, and then from that point forward, it just seemed to be teams trading haymakers. Like, Boys Latin would go on a 3-goal run or a 2-goal run. One thing that was significant about this game was that I thought Brendan Schoen really helped St. Paul's dominate possession in the first half, and it really didn't feel like Boys Latin had the ball a lot at all. And when they did, they were capitalizing on their chances. And what we saw Boys Latin coach Brian Farrell do in the second half was go to a freshman faceoff specialist instead of his usual guy in Jake Glatz. And Peyton Giberson, the freshman, came in and had a tremendous showing, was able to give them a lot more consistency and a lot more possession, and they turned that in from a 6-6 tie at halftime into a 9-7 lead about halfway through the third quarter. But of course, St. Paul's wasn't going to go away without making the run. They made their run, and then Kobe Russell delivered the game-winning goal with about 8 minutes and 30 seconds left to play in the game. And what we saw from that point forward was basically Boys Latin just trying to milk the clock, extend their possessions, go to the shot clock if they had to. And then a few big saves from Alex Rode late in the game gave St. Paul's a few possessions at the end of the game to try and equalize. And I believe a first timeout was called at 1:48. They set up a play. It did not fall. They called another timeout with about a minute to go. And at that point, it was just equalize or bust. All the shots from St. Paul's in the final minute either went wide or hit pipe. So it was a victory for Boys Latin, but it was probably by the slimmest of margins, by a pipe. But, you know, I just thought a fantastic game played between these two teams. I didn't know that Luke Schilling He probably had the performance of the day for Boyce Latin with one goal and four assists. I didn't even realize until this morning that he had four assists, and he was matched by Keegan Pearl of St. Paul's, who had the same stat line, one goal and four assists. Just a tremendous display of quarterbacking between those two teams. But at the end of the day, I think it was Boyce Latin's balance of scoring that kind of prevailed them. And also, their polls are so dangerous. This is a team that's coached by Brian Farrell, who was a poll at Maryland and was a kind of one of those guys who was a pioneer, so to speak, a Larkin Kemp before Larkin Kemp, where he would stay on offense and try to score and capitalize. I kind of see shades of his game in this Boyce Latin team. The long polls are definitely getting in on the action. And then also, their defense has kind of been inconsistent all year. But I thought in the moment, Chris Brandow and the guys in front of him made some key stops, especially in that fourth quarter.
That game also was important for the playoffs, if I want to say. Dan, can you break that down a little bit for our listeners?
Yeah, I believe Boyce Latin captured the number two seed in the MIAA playoffs. That means they get a first-round bye. I believe St. Paul's hosts Loyola Blakefield in the quarterfinals, which are set for this Friday. So that will be Rick Ricardo's last game at home. And then McDonough will host St. Mary's in the other quarterfinal.
That sets up for the semifinals. They'll take place at
Homewood Field
on May 22nd, and then the championship on May 25th. That will be that championship day includes the B and C titles as well. So a lot of lacrosse wrapping up here in Baltimore. Then I want to say the week after that, we'll get into the public schools wrap up, and we'll get into that a little bit when we get to there. I mentioned that because one of our top 25 teams is Severna Park. And they're currently undefeated at 17-0, and got to be a favorite for that title there. So a lot of lacrosse in this region clearing up. We're going to look at one other team kind of in composition with the top 25. Moving up to number 8 this week was the Brunswick School at 11-1. They had a huge week in terms of lacrosse. They beat Avon Hall Farms, who had previously been undefeated, 13-5. Big offensive performances in that contest. And then they come back the next day and beat another top 25 team, Salisbury School, 12-9. Big games.
Big week.
Yeah, big week for Xander Dixon, 2018 commit, I believe is committed to Virginia. Great just quarterbacking. He had 3 goals and 4 assists in the Avon Over Farms victory, and then 4 goals and 3 assists in the Salisbury School win. Also, Alex Bucanavage with a goal and 2 assists versus Avon Old Farms, and then 2 goals and 3 assists versus Salisbury School. He's an Under Armour All-American, and someone we'll be seeing too. Jimmy Height at 5 goals in against Avon and 3 against Salisbury as a sort of an off-ball counter threat there. Huge week for them, and a lot of talent there that we'll be seeing, I'm sure, in the summertime in one way or the other.
Yeah, those guys are exceptionally talented. Xander Dixon's almost like a young Justin Guterding in a way, such a versatile offensive player, and the numbers in this past week definitely prove that.
And just really, a really solid team against a strong schedule there with Brunswick. So kudos to them for making that jump. Coach Produce, how are things going for you?
Getting through graduation and getting geared up for our last game this season, but obviously going well. Had a great season, and it's been a fun group to coach.
Talk a little bit about this last week. It was a heck of a run that you guys had to do to finish out the season. I think it was Avon All Farms, and then was it Salisbury?
Avon All Farms last Wednesday. We played Salisbury Friday night, which is typical, and then atypical was turning around and playing Trinity Pauling the next day. We have graduation yesterday, so we had to sort of shuffle around our schedule. Graduation oddly fell in the middle of our season, so we had to shift that Trinity Pauling game back-to-back with Salisbury.
But the guys seemed to respond. I mean, it was an undefeated run there going into your last game. And I think the guys saw you at this point, you'll be sharing a piece of the title in the West there.
No, Deerfield beat Salisbury, okay, so we own the title no matter what happens this weekend. But obviously, the kids or ignoring that. And, you know, we've never won the title outright, so we own that, but we do want to finish it off the right way and see if we can't finish up with it undefeated in league schedule or record.
Awesome. Yeah, I think I saw that stat, I think, before the end of the game yesterday. So, great season for you. What fed into this year for you guys? Was it just having a good senior class, good support underneath them, all kind of coming together for one goal? What was the key to this year for you guys?
I mean, similar to the past years, we feel like we've got a couple groups at the top, juniors and seniors, that they're pretty special group, and play really well, and so hopefully the chemistry would come together, which it did. We have three captains of John Fox for his second year, Sean Morris, and then Alex Buchanavich, and all three have done a remarkable job sort of bringing the group together. Intensity level has been high from the very first practice, you know, they find ways to sort of compete in practice. So even through the wins, they haven't sort of gotten complacent. We came back from Florida to challenge ourselves playing Landon, and you know, they exposed some things that we weren't prepared for, given that was our first game, and I think that helped us turn around and fix those pieces before the Deerfield game. So I don't know if we play as well as we did against Deerfield without the Landon loss, but you know, in hindsight now, you're looking at our schedule, and one loss to the number one team in the country is not a bad season.
Yeah, I was gonna say, in retrospect, you can't really fault anybody for that loss. I mean, Landon is just a monster team this year. You mentioned the senior captains and that group. How about some of the underclassmen? I saw Xander Dixon's had a heck of a run there too, in the Avon Salisbury run there. Jimmy Height, some of the other guys. So, who are some of the guys that people should keep an eye out for?
Well, Jimmy's a senior. He's headed to Dartmouth. He's been battling some injuries. Knew he was a special player, but really couldn't get to that point in his career, and he's been perfectly healthy this year, and he's been tearing it up. Xander, we've moved from midfield to attack, and he's done really well, and I think we'll probably keep him at attack next year. You know, we have Jack Oaken in the midfield, underclassman Cooper Moore in the midfield. Who's a sophomore. You know, we rely heavily on Christian Ronda, who's started the year as a starting attackman and sort of moved to the midfield role, but getting big minutes for us. You know, we it's been nice. You know, there's so much depth, and I think we're strongest as a defensive midfield team. And, you know, we just have some real athletes and that can play short, 60, midi, and run the field. And, you know, when someone's gotten hurt, it really hasn't sort of slowed us down. Just sort of next man up sort of game plan, and guys really understand their roles. You know, we have players playing extra man that don't get much time otherwise. You know, seniors who were on the starting midfield group offensively last year who are only playing defensive midfield for us now, and you know, yeah, not one player has complained about anything, and you know, just been sort of psyched to get to the next game.
I think just looking from your stats, special teams has also been strong. Face off goalie for you guys this year?
Yeah, I mean, goalie wise, we've been really blessed the last few years to having, you know, arguably the best senior goalies in the country. You know, we had Tommy Height, who went to play to Michigan and is doing a good job there. And then people were wondering how we're going to replace them. And then Jack Stevenson came in and started for 2 years and proved that he was more than worthy. and doing a good job at Georgetown. And then all of a sudden, you know, he leaves and Patrick Birkinshaw, and he's equally as good as the two of them. And I don't, you know, obviously we're a little bit biased over here at Brunswick, but we haven't seen a better goalie all year. And he's certainly a special player.
Definitely.
Face off wise, you know, we have Ben Shapiro, and he's done a really good job, especially late, you know, improved throughout the season. And I'd say the Landon guy got the better of him. I think he did better when we saw Deerfield and winning some important faceoffs. But really, the Avon and the Salisbury game, you know, he's not expected to win many faceoffs. And you know, I think he was at 65% for Avon, and, you know, pretty close to 50% against Salisbury. And I think that's a big reason why we snuck those out.
Coach, you said this is your first title in the league?
We shared the title in 2014. This is our first
outright
league title outright. And you know, it's record-wise, it's our best record in a long time.
Just from your perspective, how hard is it to stay competitive and be competitive in your league? There's so many teams that can win year in, year out.
Yeah, you got the normal few at the top, but they're, you know, the 5, 6, 7, 8 teams are the ones that are really scary. And this is the first year that we sort of escaped that middle group without a loss. You know, there have been a number of years that we've sort of knocked off the top group, but, you know, you're right. There's, with no league playoff, every game becomes sort of that championship game. And it's kind of unique. But those are the sort of the scary ones. And we had a few scares, had to come back and from behind and beat Taft, you know, in a really close game against Choate. So there were some moments in there, but, you know, we came out on the winning end of all of them, obviously.
Just out of curiosity, would you like to see a championship format at the end of the season, or do you like how, as you described, every game sort of feeds into having to be important because you're trying to win a regular season title?
I like I would like to see a playoff, and there's always discussion about it. But I do think our league is unique, and that's a pretty nice characteristic. You know, I don't know what it would do to some of those games. But I do know that there's more rush in the field, after each game than there might be otherwise.
Awesome. Coach, thank you very much for your time today. Congratulations on the title this year, and looking forward to see some of your guys in the summer, maybe in an Under Armour game or out on the field. So congrats.
Right. Well, thanks for all you do.
Before we get into our championship roundup, wanted to give a shout out to Sideline Swap. Sideline Swap is where lacrosse players buy and sell their gear. Find deals up to 70% off on heads, shafts, helmets, and more. Or snag unique gear from colleges and the pros. Sideline Swap also lets you sell old gear simply and securely. Listen seconds, and they'll send you a prepaid shipping label when it sells. Visit sidelineswap.com today to get started. That's sidelineswap.com. Okay, time for our championship rundown. Again, I mentioned that we're kind of gearing up for a lot of titles being crowned already. One of the first ones I wanted to mention was the Haverford School won this year's regular season Interact title. The way that the Interact works is that a regular season champ is crowned when all the teams, after all the teams in the league play each other. I believe it's you get to play each opponent twice. Haverford had a tough loss against Penn Charter early, and then they dropped one against Mumford Prep as well. They finished the season strong. 14-6 record and take the regular season title. That region moves into a Interac Challenge, I want to say it's called now. I don't know, it was the ownership of the tournament's changed hands a while ago. But it's an invitational, features all the Interac teams, but also features teams like Lawrenceville from New Jersey. I know Culver has been invited to it the last couple of years to play and fight for a title, and I believe they were the winners last year. But again, kudos to Haverford School, a little bit of an early rough start that kind of had them fluctuate in and out of the polls. They actually jumped up. I mentioned there were two teams that made the poll this week. Haverford was the other one at 24 after finishing out their season strong. Moving down to Texas, had a big kind of crazy weekend down there. One of the more important games that we were watching this week was undefeated Episcopal Dallas was taking on undefeated the Woodlands in the Texas semifinals. Woodlands entered that game 23-0, and I think Episcopal Dallas was 17-0. So monster kind of like national matchup to pay attention to. Episcopal Dallas ended up winning that contest 11-8. Have a quick turnaround, have to face a strong Dallas Jesuit team who, from talking to our guy, our reportage down in that area, I know so they had some injury issues early in the season, but they look strong in the title game and won 9-8. Big day for Luke Milliken, who is their starting goalie. I believe he's committed to Penn. Didn't allow a lot of goals against. And then Dan Burnham, I want to say, had 4 goals and assist in his contest. So big kind of funky weekend, and that's kind of how these semifinal-final tournaments can kind of do you.
Anything can happen in that, like, 2 to 3 day window, you know?
Yeah, and you especially see this with some of the more tournaments where you have to practically plan for these things. With the MIAA in Maryland and a lot of the playoffs here, you can take 2 or 3 days rest between a semifinal and championship, and that provides a good even playing field. When, you know, you're traveling hundreds and hundreds of miles for some of these teams. I know Woodlands is in Houston. That's a day's drive up to Dallas. You have to practically plan these to have, like, a Friday-Saturday turnaround, a Saturday-Sunday turnaround, and you'll get called. And Dallas Jesuit was able to take advantage and win this year's title. That's back-to-back titles for them, if I recollect correctly. Couple other notes. California is wrapping up. California, unfortunately, and we talked about this with John Azizzi back early in the podcast, they don't have a state title, but they have a lot of regional titles. A couple cool stories. St. Ignatius Prep, our number 11 team in the nation, wraps up their season with a 19-2 record. They win the local WCAL title. They usually take on Bellarmine Prep in that and beat them again. Loyola Los Angeles makes the nice championship run. They win both the LA title and then the Southern Section title. The Southern Section title is a championship play between Orange County and Los Angeles County for the Southern Section. So Loyola Los Angeles makes a nice run and make it back into our IL West rankings. Lawrenceville, mentioned them. They'll be playing in their Interact Challenge. They won the New Jersey State Prep private school title. That's the kind of the title run right now. We'll get into some bigger ones coming up soon on the East Coast, and then June we really start hitting the last of the Northeast titles. So,
yeah.
Dan, what to watch this week? What are we looking at?
Well, a big game in the New England sphere is Deerfield and Salisbury. There'll be a ton of talent on the field when those two meet. Of course, both of those teams. And then we've got Cherry Creek and Kent Denver out in Colorado, another fantastic game to watch. Out west, and then, of course, the MIAA playoffs. I believe Inside Lacrosse will be doing their best to give you guys complete coverage of those. They're always fascinating games with some of the top teams in the state of Maryland. Plenty of future stars on those teams as well.
Yep, and that's it for us this week. Thank you very much for tuning in, and we'll check you out on the fields. If you want to follow all the high school news notes, check at IL Preps on Twitter.
Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, your source for the sport.